Hi, this is Neil Green.
But you should be scared, because it is the truth.
Gonna piss on cops and fuck your grass. I'm gonna rock around the clock tonight.
Welcome to 69 Cent Special. I'm CJ Cole.
I'm rocking around the clock, Kevin Smith.
Hey, and we're dead inside.
We just watched Pass Through.
We watched Pass Through, episode 3 of our Halloween special.
Oh, yeah.
Help.
Three of four.
And we watched something that turned out to be far worse than I remember it.
Okay, so, all right. Full disclosure, everybody. We've said this like four times on this Halloween series before, but we haven't seen Pass Through sober.
We have not.
I think until today.
Correct.
And I feel like we still didn't.
It is by far the druggiest.
It's
of Neil Breen's films.
I think he was trying to make it trippy.
It felt like it was trying to be like transcendental or something like that.
Yeah, really like
failed on every account.
Heady and like, whoa, dude.
So like we did last time, we're gonna go through this plot summary I found.
Oh, you found one? Thank God.
It's one sentence.
Oh fuck.
Then we will talk. A messianic entity from the future travels to modern-day Earth to wipe out 300 million, quote, bad people, and usher in a new era of peace. How much of that actually happened in the movie?
All of it.
The new era of peace?
Well, we didn't see that part, but like that was his goal. He was ushering it in.
I think he failed pretty miserably on eliminating the bad people thing, because near the end of the movie, after he did the elimination part, there was still a bad person trying to kill people.
Well, yeah. He only killed 300 million people. Like,
that's true.
There's 7 billion on Earth.
That's a lot of people.
And honestly, like, real talk, if 300 million people just disappeared off the planet, I think a lot more bad people would start coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, they'd get out of their way.
Well, and also, like, you know, that's traumatic.
True. That's a lot of distress.
Trauma like, can
even
cause
eliminating
people
to a bad person can affect someone in a way that causes them to,
in a place or in a way that makes them feel uncomfortable. And that's no good.
That's no good.
Yeah.
Chili dogs.
We both got there.
Is that a Sonic the Hedgehog thing?
That's from Sonic Says in the Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon. Not to be confused with Sonic Sat AM.
Oh, by the way, that sentence was directly from the Wikipedia article.
Oh, good.
Is
there more on the Wikipedia article?
The only thing is sort of a general statement from Breen saying, mm-hmm. He has said that his films have a, quote, sense of social responsibility and reflect the, quote, mystical or paranormal side of life.
That is true of this film.
Very true of this film.
It's been sort of my running gag that Neil Breen's a comrade, and he is sort of in this film.
The hardest part with Neil Breen is pinning down what the fuck his ideals are. Like, his movies are so idealistic,
but
what are those ideals?
Because he's very against corruption.
Yes, that's very clear.
He doesn't like stockbrokers.
Bankers.
Or politicians.
Or lawyers. Or international bankers. Which are distinct from bankers,
national
apparently.
And international bankers.
The most secret of international and national and international secrets.
He doesn't like pimps.
Nope. Or gang members.
But doesn't seem to quite understand, like, the causes of gang crime.
Yeah, he's not very nuanced.
He seems to be under the impression that, like, gang crime is caused by and funded by, like, politicians and stockbrokers.
I'm losing the energy to try and get into Neil Breen's brain shoes.
No, this is a movie where we have to fucking... We've been doing good on analysizing.
Analysitating.
Needing his movies. And by God, right. We're going to do it again.
All right, let me muster the energy here.
Get some ketchup and mustard.
Okay, I think I'm good.
All right, he just chugged a bunch of mayo chup.
Some of that bacon bit mayo chup.
Baconaise.
Oh, God. I would be projectile vomiting.
Mayo
right
Chut Baconaise is my D&D character's name.
You're a bard who specializes in making sauces.
No, that's a barbarian.
A bardbarian.
I am Baconaise Mayo Chup.
My family was a family of sauce makers.
And your weapon is a maul, but it's like a giant wooden spoon.
Yeah, of course.
Kapunk. Kapunk.
I value strength above all things, especially in my sauces.
Strong sauce.
Strong sauce makes up for weak steak.
Strong sauce make up for a weak body.
And then he, like, shoots it into someone's mouth.
Just pew.
That sounded like, don't take that out of context.
Do. Just kidding, do.
Do it. So pass through. Pass through.
Okay, so pass through is Neil Breen desperately trying to get the people watching this movie to make Molotov cocktails and throw them at City Hall.
I don't know. It's so hard going from Fateful Findings to any other Breen movie, but this one in particular.
Yeah, because the glory that is Fateful Findings, which also has no discernible ideals.
Correct. Other than national and international corruption.
Right. He hates national and international corruption. But really, beyond that, most of the movie isn't about that.
Correct.
It's mostly about he thinks he should be able to cheat on his wife.
It's like a weird romantic drama.
Yeah. He makes The Room, and then he throws on a bunch of politicians dying at the end.
And hacking, yeah. And a cube. And a room full of black trash bags.
There's not as much naked.
Although there's more naked in The Room. You see Tommy Wiseau's back sack.
A lot.
You see a bit of Breen's back sack in Fateful Findings.
Just a tad bit.
You get a little
which is a
little whiff of his sack.
Which is a factor of HD televisions, I
true,
think.
True, true, true. Although in Double Down, you see sack.
Yeah, but that's because he's in a pool.
Yeah, and it's floating. I think because his balls are filled with, like, helium.
You should get that checked out.
He's got, like, his sperm floats in air.
I was going to say that they tend to.
No, like in, it's weird, like anti-gravity.
Believe
jizz.
It or not, I'm jizzing in air.
So pass through.
Okay,
we're totally not stalling.
This one doesn't have as. I'm trying not to stall, for the record. This one,
the record, I am.
This one doesn't have as much of like evocative.
It's evocative
visuals. As Fateful Findings.
Yeah, because, like, Fateful Findings and I Am Here Now have a clear... all of them have sort of a clear thing that represents the power or, like, source mm-hmm. or some sort of supernatural thing. In I Am Here Now, it's the tchotchke crystal orb.
Tchotchke like crystal part. Orb and, to a lesser extent, Party City Mask.
Right. In Fateful Findings, it was Black Cube.
Black Cube.
And man in slacks and black shoes.
Yes.
In this one, it is a poorly done
green red screen tiger
dot.
Oh yeah,
The tiger we'll talk about because that's an actual point of contention.
Okay,
but the red dot that you see sometimes
it's in a lot of scenes.
It's in a lot of scenes, but it's small.
It's like okay, imagine if you had a school assignment,
uh-huh.
and it was recreate the Eye of Sauron, but you have 5 minutes.
Yes.
And also, you have to do it entirely in Premiere.
And the hard part with that thing is that it never moves.
Yeah, no.
And it never fades.
Yeah, it fades in.
Does it fade? Oh, yeah, it fades in. You're right.
Plenty of times, but then it just pops right out.
So...
There's a lot of plot lines in this film.
I was going to start with Neil Breen dying from a heroin overdose.
That's fairly early.
Yeah.
I don't understand the setup for that or why it's in the movie.
Because later in the movie, it's established that he's a trans-dimensional
Jesus.
AI.
Yeah.
And so we're like, how did you die of a heroin overdose then?
Because it kind of seemed to me that he took his body.
He took the Breen. He took, of all the people that died in this movie, he took Neil Breen's body.
Yeah. He's the sexiest, most powerful body.
He's got the greatest bald spot.
He's got the touch.
He's got the power to cruise the world.
He's got a sweet, sweet, like, jet stream. Yeah, I get a cruising world.
It got me!
Yeah, cruise the world. Cruising
world. Oh, what a dope game. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a dope broken down jet stream and a dope broken down truck
and
that he lives in.
A lot of trash.
A lot of cans.
And a broken piano at one point.
His name is established as Teal, which is T-H-G-I-L, but pronounced, sorry, Till, not Teal, Till. Which those of you at home who are observant enough is light backwards.
Because he comes up with this name. A person asks him what his name is.
Mm-hmm.
And he does the thing that everyone in every cartoon ever does, where they need to come up with a fake name stat.
Mm-hmm.
And they look around the room and they're like, board game.
Yeah, exactly.
Chris.
It's like the first word that they see.
Yeah.
And he decides that he looked at a Light and Fit yogurt cup and decided, oh yeah, Light spelled backwards is a good name.
Till.
Till.
Now, I would love it if his name was Till Tiff.
I know, right? Oh my God. That would
be great.
Meh, chef kiss.
Till Tiff.
Till Tiff. But essentially, so.
There's a good joke in that scene where she asks, what kind of name is that? He's like, it's a foreign name.
Yeah. And then the girl's like, oh, from another planet. It.
And they buy it.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do to sort of try and parse, because this movie is nigh unparsable. Like, I know that sounds like we repeat that for every Breen movie, but this is a whole another level of unparsable for me.
So, like,
it's followable because I think the actual things that are happening on screen are fairly simple.
Sure.
But putting it all together, like you said, it's hard to temporally place everything that happens in the movie.
There's a lot of, like, plot lines that are going through the movie that don't really interact with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And they're cut between with reckless abandon.
It feels like the worst edited Breen movie.
Definitely.
And
it feels like it was, like, edited in a hurry.
Interestingly enough, this is the first one I noticed that had both John Magicomo and Neil Breen both credited as editors, whereas previously it was just John Mastrogiacomo.
I'm going to fact check that.
Okay.
Because I recall that being true also on Fateful Findings.
Oh, yeah?
I seem to recall.
Anyway, so what I wanted to do is sort of go over the plot threads rather than just going through the movie.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be easier to grok.
I think that's true.
So the first one I'll talk about is Neil Breen himself.
Sure.
Otherwise known as Till. Otherwise known as Tiger King. Otherwise known as the man who pisses on rocks. And
real quick.
Yes.
Fateful Findings had two credited editors.
Oh, Breen and?
Brian Mills.
Brian Mills. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
No idea who that is, but.
Nope.
Not Breen.
And not.
John Mastrogiacomo. So with Tiger King Till.
Yep.
Man who pisses on rocks. His plot thread is take over Neil Breen's body for some reason.
We think.
And then find a way to kill 300 million people.
Well, he doesn't need to find a way. He just does.
Find a way to get on the news, I guess.
Not even. He just goes.
That's true. You can just teleport.
He's just fucking around for a week.
Yeah, I don't know why. And then go home.
Yeah.
That's like it. And then at the very end is a brief mention of possible character development. That's never
going to get.
It's never
going to
go anywhere. Because I don't think we're going to get a sequel to Pass Through. We are getting a sequel to Twisted Pair.
And we're going to find out why and whether that's justified next week.
The answer to both of those is no.
Why? No.
Why?
Why? Neil Breen. I'm going to call the Neil Breen whose body gets taken over Neil Breen Prime.
Okay. Is this the AI Neil Breen?
No, this is the man.
Original Neil Breen. Okay. The drug addict
Neil Breen. For the first time ever in a Neil Breen film, Neil Breen plays the drug addict.
Right?
Actually, I think might be untrue. Isn't he a drug addict in Double Down?
I think so. I think there's a brief mention of it.
He definitely eats tuna.
He eats a lot of tuna, so he might be addicted to lead.
It's mercury.
Like I said. Sorry, the lead chips are getting to me.
You gotta stop eating paint.
I know, man. They're just too colorful.
There's only white paint in this room.
And it's definitely not lead paint.
To your knowledge. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with mesothelioma.
Continue talking. I'm gonna grab my water.
Have fun.
Jetney slam dunk cannibal.
Do the wave, Sentinel. Cool.
The amazing new X-Men Water Wars. Play that figure souls ever.
Is that Hail to the Chief?
That's Hail to the Chief.
It's from Halo, right?
Halo to the Chief.
Halo to the Chief.
Ah, dude. What if a president got elected and they came out to the Halo theme?
Oh, that'd be fucking dope.
At my high
cringe.
School, in my graduating class, we actually voted for that to be our like class song.
It's such a good song.
And then the student council overrode us and did, I think,
fucking bunch of piss ants.
The Green Day one. Time of Your Life.
Oh, God. Basic bitches.
I know, right? At least they didn't pick the fucking vitamin C one.
Oh, right?
It's just called Graduation Song, I think.
I think it is. Ugh.
Yeah,
The Halo song would have been... Especially the Steve Vai version?
I don't remember.
So it's the same song, but the electric guitar kicks in.
Oh.
Mm-hmm, and he goes like a fucking sick solo.
I don't know if that was out at the time.
It was Halo 2, I think, had that one.
Was that 2009? Halo 2 was well before 2009.
Yeah, because Halo 1 was like 04.
And Halo 2 came out on the original Xbox, right?
Yes. Hold on, I will give you the exact date here.
Pardon us, folks. We're burping and looking up Halo facts.
Let's see. Okay. 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 Halo 1 was 2001.
Whoa.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Don't.
Halo 2 was 2004.
Okay.
Halo 3 was out by 2009.
Got it.
Damn.
That's probably why it got voted that.
Yeah. Halo 3 was 2007. Halo Wars and ODST came out in 2009.
Wow.
And then Halo Reach was 2010. God, between 2009 and 2015, there was a Halo game every year.
Jesus.
Yeah. Halo Reach 2010. Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary 2011. Halo 4 2012.
Does that one count?
Kind of. Spartan Assault 2013. Master Chief Collection 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I do count that one. 2015 was Halo 5 and Halo Spartan Strike. What the fuck is Spartan Strike?
And then there's, of course, Halo Master Chief's Crossbow Training.
Right, and then Halo Oracle of Ages and Seasons.
Yeah.
And then my personal favorite, Halo Wand of Gamelon.
Welcome back, everybody. Okay, so... All right, so Neil Breen Prime...
Yes.
Is hired by some drug dealers, question mark, to cover their tracks so that they're not followed by
the
authorities.
The least developed characters in Breen history.
I think this is the last we see of them.
Yes.
They pay Neil Breen with heroin,
mm-hmm.
which he then does, and then dies?
Dies?
Question mark? And then he gets up from behind himself, you know, actually admittedly kind of okay visual effect for a Neil Breen film.
Mm-hmm.
We're about to watch a movie that has much, much worse of
much
those.
Much worse, yes.
But much more prominent and fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of why this movie feels like a slog is because it's trying to be so preachy 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't stop to have the Neil Breen fun.
That's very true. It feels too...
It feels very I Am Here Now.
Because it feels like in every Breen movie... There's something he's doing that's new. So, like, Fateful Findings, it feels like he really sat down and tried to write, like, a drama. Like, a character-driven sort of drama
thing. Certainly tried to do that.
He tried to do that. Every one of them is try and a failure. with I Am Here Now, I think he... That was the first where he was like, I'm going to be some sort of, like, metaphysical entity.
Okay. He was trying to do some trippy visuals in that one.
Yeah, some more like magic and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
This one, it feels like the thing he wanted to do that was new was drone shots.
He does and have a lot of drone shots.
Drone shots and green screen. Yes. And those were his experiments, and they didn't, and it was tacked on, and they didn't feel fun.
No.
None of the green screen. Okay. A little bit of the green screen feels fun. There's one shot we'll talk about. But they just don't feel like, I don't know. They just feel there.
But the reason why I bring this up mm-hmm. is because Neil Breen, from now on, Neil Breen refers to the metaphysical entity that is now inhabiting the body of Neil Breen.
Got it. it's like a fucking court document.
It's more like reading like a badly formatted Wikipedia.
Yeah, Neil Breen now referring to.
Right. Okay. His story mm-hmm. is a fucking slog.
Absolutely. This movie's what, 188 minutes.
Yeah.
Not 188, it's 88 minutes.
Yeah, 88
It feels minutes. Like 3 hours. It felt longer than Watchmen, which is a lie. Nothing feels longer than Watchmen.
You didn't like that movie?
It was okay. It was just very long because I was seeing it at midnight.
Oh, yeah. So was I, actually.
Yeah.
Me and our mutual shenanigans friend.
Oh, yeah?
Saw that, yeah.
I saw it with some high school friends. I don't know if you guys came.
We did not.
No, you guys got it separately.
Yeah, we went to a separate showing. Yeah. I got a t-shirt.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah.
I just got an hour of sleep.
I think I saw it at the New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. We saw it at like the Suncoast or something.
But like, I didn't see it in New Orleans. I saw it at the
the
New Orleans Hotel and Casino.
The Orleans.
New Orleans, I guess.
Yeah.
This is how they pronounce it. It should be pronounced Nolans.
Knowledge. Oh, nice. God. Fucking nice.
I apologize.
Dude.
Okay. So, Neil Breen's plot line in this film is two girls who were being...
Two girls, one Breen.
Nope.
He'll clean up.
Two girls who were being, like human trafficked.
Yeah, I think so.
But escaped. They show up at his palatial mansion. And by that, I mean shitty slipstream.
Yeah, a broken down Airstream trailer. That. Slipstream trailer would have been... But a broken down Airstream trailer and like a fucking attached to a truck with no wheels or whatever.
A broken pickup truck that hadn't moved since 1904.
Right. And a shitty mattress.
Yeah, so it's the most believably desolate location in any Neil Breen movie.
The settings are good.
I like
on a scale from 1 to 10, they're like there.
There are locations that I believe more in Fateful Findings.
Houses.
Whenever a house is supposed to be a house, I buy it.
You're like, yep, that's a house.
That's definitely a garage and there is a car in it. But these ones have very bleak environments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... All right. I'm trying to piece together what I want to say about Neil Breen's plot line. Because kind of
not much.
The plot summary that we read earlier, that's it.
That's pretty much the entire movie.
So the two girls show up at his Airstream.
Their significance to the whole plot is basically zero.
I think they are the ones that convince him to not kill all of humanity, but rather just the bad ones.
Huh.
I think that's what's going on.
Okay, I'll buy that.
That's what it feels like. He makes a very big deal about when he tells one of them that like he's going to kill a lot of people. She gets freaked out and he's like, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
That's a very big deal. And that's the only reason I could think of that would be it.
Yes. So on the note of these two female characters being human trafficked, one of the subplots is the fact that there is this large group of people, presumably from... there are no country names given.
They are...
They are fleeing their countries
into whatever country they are. We are currently in the film,
which we can
assume is America,
because and there, because
that's definitely the Nevada desert.
Over the course of several long and obnoxious scenes, they're split into a group of women and a group of men,
and both of their plot lines are now followed separately.
Yes, the group of men are sitting in a bus. One of them gets shot for some reason. He coughed or something. And then the women are brought to, like, a drug house or something.
That is definitely how I would describe that house.
There is one character
who is great.
Amazing. We will call her Samuel L. Jackson.
And, Samuella Jackson?
Samuella Jackson.
Yep.
And her job is to yell and shoot people. The first time we encounter her.
Yeah.
Is at the quote-unquote border, which is essentially just a broken chain-link fence.
Yes.
And there is a grandma and her grandson or something like that.
They look vaguely related. That is their in-character relation. Yeah,
and she has a gun, and she just yells the phrase something along the lines of,
You are
of no value to me
on the streets.
On the streets, and just shoots.
Now, she shoots one bullet at a time. Uh-huh. Out of what I think is a submachine gun. It looks like a
fucking Uzi.
Now, that's impressive.
Yeah.
You get
unless
one...
you installed that fucking what's the shot selector yourself.
What's the opposite of making a gun automatic? You make it manual?
Making it stick shift?
Well, those are shotguns with the thing on the end, right?
Or the pump, yeah. Or the rifle, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because the... single shot,
mm-hmm.
Burst, semi-auto, it means you shoot one bullet and you don't have to do anything else to shoot the next bullet.
Right.
That's what semi-automatic means.
Got it.
And then automatic is you hold the trigger and it fires.
And it keeps going.
Yeah. That's an automatic gun. Right. So this is a semi-automatic Uzi.
Which, that seems like a design flaw.
Let's see. Or just she put an Uzi body around like a fucking Glock.
I mean, that's definitely what... Neil Breen thinks that gun shoots like.
Oh, my goodness.
But yeah, so she shoots the grandma first.
We cut to her. She shoots, and then we cut to the wider shot, and the grandma's laying on the ground.
Sure. We can make an assumption based on the rules of filmmaking.
Based on whatever that effect is with editing. Kuleshov effect?
Kuleshov effect, I believe.
I got it. The only reason I know that is from Folding Ideas.
Dude.
Shout out to Folding Ideas.
Go look at Folding Ideas.
Watch some ideas fold. Watch his series on the 50 Shades movies.
How do you pronounce? How do you spell that?
Kuleshov.
Kuleshov effect. Thank you.
Because that's the one with like the mime.
Montage, yeah.
Yeah. Where like basically editing two shots together can convey information.
Basically what gives us the concept of the montage.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
It's very necessary to filmmaking.
Yeah, it's sort of vital to filmmaking, really.
Unless you wanted, like, to have every scene in your film have to logically occur one shot after the next,
mm-hmm.
and you never reuse shots.
Right, which is very difficult to do. Or, according to Neil Breen, is all you do.
No, he reuses shots all the time.
Oh, yeah, he reuses shots, like...
He reuses shots that, like...
Like, I reuse...
Very needles. Definitely happened in the story...
Seriously, like, oh my god.
There's at least twice where one of the girls is sneaky walking. Sneaks.
Yeah.
Like, after him.
The funniest part to me is, like, it's clearly the same shot. He just cuts it at a different part at the end
mm-hmm.
to not show the fact that, hey, Breen's over there.
Right, because he's not supposed to be in
this. He's not supposed to be in that scene.
Very bizarre.
He's a weirdo. But, So she shoots the grandson and the
grandma. She shoots the grandma, and then the grandson is like, why did you shoot her? And she
repeats the line.
Very, almost exactly.
Yeah.
And then shoots, and then we cut back and the kid is dead.
Yes. It's great. And then my favorite scene in the entire movie
mm-hmm.
is later in the movie when Neil Breen is teleporting around murdering millions. And he shows up at the female's sort of drug house.
Mm-hmm.
And he's standing right, because she's like, who the hell are you? And he's standing like right in front. He's like, this is my reality.
I think this is my favorite scene in the movie as well.
Yes.
Because they're both clearly having a lot of fun.
It looks like the yes.
They're both At least one of them is trying not to laugh at least once.
And it's probably the actress.
But also, like, there was a weird part where there was definitely sexual tension going on there.
Oh, there was some sparks.
And I was like, oh, do I just have, like, something wrong with my brain?
But, I mean, we all do. But,
what?
My favorite, we all have something wrong with our brains.
Tom Hanks doesn't.
But he's in New York and there's blood on his knife.
Oh, that's true.
Listen to our episode on Mazes and Monsters.
It's better than this one.
It's better than this movie. Jane, he's in New York. And so he teleports into this house. And
they're yelling at each other.
They're yelling at each other. And Neil Breen yells the line, "This is my reality." And she retorts with, "I will kill you."
And then he just like boops her out of existence.
No, they just shout back and forth a few more times. It's sort of like the equivalent.
It's just like,
it's so.
So he's still trying to like reason a little bit. And she's just like, no, I'm going to skip right to the threat part.
It's so.
Very good.
Goddamn funny.
Very, very good.
It is like.
Yeah, her job is basically to be an orc.
She's the taskmaster.
Yeah.
And Yell, she's like the driver.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. That's her role in the movie.
Very unfortunate.
But man, she looks like the one having the most fun with that role.
She's definitely the one trying the hardest.
Oh yeah, maybe too hard. But
absolutely.
She looks like she's having a blast. But yeah, that scene was freaking hilarious, and then he like poofs her out of existence, and then he lets all the ladies run.
In these scenes, because he lets both the men and the women free separately.
Correct.
He basically says the same thing to each of them,
mm-hmm.
which is go back to your countries.
And be leaders.
Be leaders and make a difference there. And I'm like, what?
Well, the thing that bothered me about that line, I mean, it was very contrived.
Sure.
But
it's very boomery.
Very boomer. I mean, have you seen Neil Breen?
No.
Neil Boomer?
I've only seen the characters that he portrays.
His blood is probably made of the sugar-free monster.
What does that even mean?
It's colloquially known as boomer juice.
Oh.
And the joke is that all the boomers who did cocaine in the 80s switched to sugar-free monster to get the same high. But anyway.
Okay. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. It's also disgusting.
Okay, yeah, because it's sugar-free. Monster's already gross.
Monster's already basically drinking battery acid with caffeine.
So take the sugar out of that.
Yeah, and it's just more battery acid. I'm not a fan of energy drinks, folks. I already have my battles with caffeine.
You and I don't drink a whole lot of caffeine anymore.
No, I do more than I used to, but it's still very sparing.
Yeah.
Like every now and then I'll grab like a Mexican Coke or something to treat myself, or a Dr. P. But no, I try to avoid it. And, cause I found like when I was in college and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and I'd have like, I never drank coffee and sure. I never did energy drinks, but I would have like a Coke and a Dr. Pepper like every day. After stopping for a while, I realized like sort of not like my mood stabilized, but I just felt a little bit more mentally stable, I guess. Emotionally stable.
You were feeling more stable.
What a fateful finding. And
it was a magical day.
What a magical day.
God, I wish we watched that movie again.
Seriously, God, it's a treat to watch Fateful Findings. It is not a treat to watch Pass Through. I will say, if you're gonna marathon like all of the Breen movies,
we should probably order them
at the very end.
I mean, we could give our like thoughts on where we would put this one.
I know we did that in the last episode as well.
Well, that was order them in quality, but like if we're going to marathon them.
Oh, if we're going to marathon them, that's a good question. See, because the question at that point would be: is Fateful Finding first or last?
That's the fucking trick, right?
Because it's the best, so you can either use it as the introduction, or you could use it as the grand like orgasmic finale.
Hot take. Exact midpoint.
Oh, you want it like a climax and a denouement?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
we're
nice.
Building up, and then oops.
See, what you could do then is you could start with like Pass Through,
Okay. Yeah, it's pass-through is definitely the most what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, it's like the
so far.
Yeah. And then if you want to throw double down in there, we're not recommending it.
I'd probably end with double down.
Yes, actually that's a good point. So I would say pass-through, then I'm Here Now.
Uh-huh.
Cuz they're sort of linked in terms of feel.
Sure.
Fateful Findings.
Okay, so we're getting a little bit less mystical.
Yes. Then Fateful Findings. Then just to get the punch right in the cyber balls, you go Twisted Pair.
Because now we're getting more technological.
And then you go Double Down, which is all about hacking.
I like it.
There you go.
I kind of like it.
Tattoo that on your bodies, folks.
Or, you know what? Don't.
I'd recommend not, because he's coming out with more movies and that order might change.
If you get Neil Breen, if you could get Neil Breen's face tattooed anywhere on your body, where would it be?
And I'd lie if I say I haven't thought about this before.
In fact, I know that you've thought about this before. You've intimated.
I know.
You've told me about it before.
It would be a tough choice between right thigh.
Inner thigh or outer thigh?
Top of thigh.
Top of thigh, okay.
Left calf. Back of calf. Or very small next to my right nipple.
Like a secret kneel. Like he's hidden. I would probably get a Neil Breen face tramp stamp, I think.
Oh, what Breen face?
Wikipedia photo.
Oh, the one with his eyes closed.
Yeah.
Oh, good one.
No, I mean his standard one.
Because you've got the Breen standard.
Yeah.
And then you have your choice of pretty much anything from any of his movies.
Yeah.
I could also have, spoiler alert, I could also have flying Neil Breen from Twisted Pair, action lined across my arm.
Consider a Neil Breen sleeve.
what would you put on it? What would be the panorama that makes up your Neil Breen sleeve?
I would do
what would be the centerpiece?
No, okay.
Oh, okay.
I would not do a sleeve.
Okay.
I would do Evolution of Man, but it's all Neil Breen.
Oh my god!
And just on the inner thigh.
What about the Vitruvian Breen?
Oh, that's good too.
And it just has a huge ball sack.
Yeah. But somehow you only see the back.
Real human. Yes. Real human Breen.
So his waist is turned around.
he's like a fucking action figure.
Yeah.
Dude, did you get the new Breen action figure?
Yeah, it sucks.
God, they're
half a point of articulation.
He feels like those GI, those 3.5-inch GI Joes, but all the rubber bands are broken.
it's got a ball bearing in there, but I don't know why. It's just rattling around.
He's just a floppy man. So are the action figures. But
boo.
So
what other plot lines are in this movie?
The kids.
The
precocious kids and
dying professor.
Dying astronomy? Astrology?
Astronomy.
Astronomy professor.
Astronomy is the real one.
Yeah. I always...
Astrology is the one that's in the newspaper.
Yes. Astrological sign. You're right, yes. Astronomy...
is the planet. Is space.
Is space. Yes.
Astrology recognizes that the earth is flat and we see a firmament in the sky with pinholes poked in it.
Well, Fateful Findings gives me a firmament. But anyway, so the astrologer, the dying...
astronomer.
The dying psychonaut.
Uh-huh.
So they're, very early in the movie, we see these three kids.
These three kids...
talking about some alien signal.
Yeah, and they're just sitting around in a bedroom.
Yeah, with a fucking Dell-ass laptop.
Several laptops.
Yeah. Although they're much newer than the laptops that Breen likes to destroy because they're actually used and not destroyed.
Zero destroyed laptops in this film.
That is probably the biggest disappointment of the film.
I think that's probably why it sucks.
Yeah.
No computers are destroyed.
Uh-huh.
But computers are present, unlike in I Am Here Now.
I'll probably forget this by the time we watch our final Breen movie. But what I'd like to do is apply genre tags to each Breen movie.
Ooh, do you want to start that in this episode?
Sure. So let's go back.
Well, hold on. Let's finish our thought on
yes
that we were just in.
Good call.
What was that thought?
We were talking about the kids.
Yes, the children.
Yes.
They show up periodically to do nothing.
I don't understand their purpose.
Usually, they talk about...
I think I know their purpose.
Oh yeah, hit me.
They're supposed to represent what Neil Breen thinks kids should be doing. Because when they show up at the end, he's like, "I like you kids," or something like that. I don't remember what he said.
He basically says that.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that. They're very inquisitive.
I shouldn't say what he thinks kids should be doing. I guess he should say represents positive qualities
in children,
in the youth.
Okay, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Yeah, that I'm stretching for that. So
it, yeah, mostly it's so that someone can like tell Neil Breen that he's cool at the end,
or it's probably just so he could have his old man friend in the movie.
Definitely, 100%.
Who's by far the best character in this,
and the best? I'm gonna say the best old man in the movie so far.
Yeah, and Neil Breen's very old.
Like, okay, there are the two doctor old men in Fateful Findings.
They were crap.
One was just the regular doctor,
mm-hmm.
and he was just bad at his job.
Oh, and the other was the psychologist.
Yes.
Yeah. Oof. Oof. Did I called Samuella Jackson my favorite favorite character? They're both my favorite characters.
I'm willing to give a best actor and best actress award.
There we go. Let's do it.
Because he gets best actor definitely just for his like. There's one scene where he's trying to talk to the kids on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, what do you see? What's going on?
He's got sort of Doc Brown vibes to him.
If Doc Brown like
had leukemia.
Yes.
Well, because like most of the movie, he's in the same hospital bed that Breen was in Fateful Findings,
quote unquote hospital bed,
quote unquote hospital bed, with more shit in that room.
Yeah, a lot better, like decorated as a hospital.
Still not convincing, but yes.
Like it kind of just looks like he's in hospice.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. And so, like every now and then, he'll breathe out of his oxygen mask and then be on the phone with the rambunctious chitlins.
You would think. If at that point he would just like have the like tube.
Yeah, give him the fucking oxygen nose tubes. The ones that Neil Breen callously taped to his face bandage. You alright there?
Yeah, I had a bogey.
Oh, okay.
Leave this in.
I'll just fill it.
If you fucking cut this out, I will kill everyone.
I'm not gonna cut it. I'm just gonna insert like a Nickelodeon GAC commercial.
Just playing softly in the background.
Yep. Yep. Nickelodeon GAC.
Nickelodeon GAC'd?
Make it. Whoa! Make it fart with your hands.
Did you ever have GAC?
I had, I don't think I had actual Nickelodeon GAC, mm-hmm. but I had a lot of those, or I had a few of those, like,
the various
slime
goos.
Equivalents. Yeah, the various goo-based devices.
I had one from a museum once.
Oh.
And I believe it glowed in the dark.
Hell yeah, dude.
But it wasn't the standard glow-in-the-dark color, which is none.
Like a greenish?
Well, no.
Oh, you mean when not glowing?
When not glowing. It was like nuclear yellow.
Oh, wild. Yeah, because like normal glow-in-the-dark color is like white to slightly off-white.
Yeah. And then it glows.
And it glows like dark. A green.
Because it's radioactive.
Yep.
Very mildly.
Notes. And radium glows all the time because it is radioactive.
That's why it's called radium.
Enjoy your tongue cancer. And
what?
That's a story about when we were manufacturing radium watches. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what years, but they were hand painted. So like the sticks, the hands, as well as the numbers, were painted with radium paint, so that they would glow and you could read them in the night. And what the mainly ladies who did this, what they would do is they would lick their brush to get a nice point on the brush.
Mm.
And that would deposit small amounts of radium into their tongue. And so a lot of them got like mouth-based cancer.
The radium girls.
Yeah, there you go.
1917 through the early 1920s.
Woo, that was a lot earlier than I thought. But yes. Yep.
Settled at a court in 1928.
Yeah.
Further damages were awarded in 1938.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's also, when I looked up Radium Watch on Google, it threw me a bunch of ads for ones for sale. So...
I don't know. It depends on the type of radioactivity in radium.
Yeah.
Because most of it can be blocked by, like, just the materials around it.
Yeah, I assume glass.
Yeah, glass. That's why, like, if you've ever seen I think they're called vapor chambers.
Have I seen vapor chambers?
Radiation poisoning.
But like, at a museum.
Yeah.
It's like there's a piece of glass over it, and it's not gonna.
Yeah, the Atomic Testing Museum has stuff like that.
Yeah, they're really cool. Really cool.
Their Geiger counter doesn't work.
The irony.
In their, is it Geiger?
Geiger.
Mm-hmm. Right, because
you're thinking of H.R. Giger.
The artist is Giger.
Yeah, but Geiger is G-E-I, so that's, and he's German, so it's Geiger.
Right.
Hans Franz Geiger. What was his fucking name?
Hans and Franz Geiger.
Hans and Franz Geiger.
But there's this bit where, like, oh, wave the thing over the...
Yeah.
And you can see how radioactive it is, and it doesn't fucking work.
At Geiger, we excel at providing customized creative solutions that engage people, build brand affection, and generate results.
I don't think that's right.
No, Geiger counter. There we go. Also known as the Geiger-Müller counter.
Oh.
Geiger-Müller.
Nobody ever talks about Mueller.
Mueller. Hans Geiger. It was Hans.
Whoa.
Hans Geiger and Walther Mueller.
Oh, Walther.
Also related, the Geiger-Müller tube, which I think is the thing that makes the Geiger counter work.
That's the tube bit.
Yep, it's the tubey bit. Is a gaseous ionization detector and uses the Townsend avalanche phenomenon. What a fucking name. To produce an easily detectable electronic pulse from as little as a single ionizing event due to a single radiation particle. It is used for the detection of gamma rays, X-rays, and alpha and beta particles. It can also be adapted to detect neutrons.
Cool.
That's fucking cool.
Can it detect Jimmy Neutron?
I think it'd be modified to detect Jimmy Neutron, yes.
Can it be modified to detect one goddamn good episode of Jimmy Neutron, the television show? I'm fucking...
Damn.
Here's my vendetta.
Is that a hot take?
Here's my hot take. That show wasn't good.
Wow. I watched a lot of it as a kid, and I remember none of it other than Sheen liking Ultra Lord.
Good. That's it.
And Carl liking llamas? Yes. That a thing? Okay.
Okay.
But with a lot of like cartoons and animated things, like, I distinctly remember voices. Because, like, I don't know. That's how my brain works.
I mean, there was that one movie that we watched where, I believe it was The Nuttiest Nutcracker, where one of the characters... also voiced Jimmy Neutron, and I could pick her out.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I can't place voices for Jimmy Neutron characters.
I can get them all.
I don't know what it was. Like, usually, like, there will be at least one scene where I can distinctly hear the characters, and just Jimmy Neutron's just like, nothing.
I got them all. They're,
you got cursed.
I have the damned brain of someone... that has far, far too much encyclopedic knowledge of 90s and early 2000s cartoons and not nearly enough about, like, basic math or reading comprehension.
Who am I?
What am I?
fine dining and breathing.
Oh, shit. Okay, hold on. We had a thing that we were going to do.
Oh, apply genre tags.
Yeah. Are we done with the children thought?
Yeah, because essentially their whole plot is, like, they were looking for aliens, and then it turned out Neil Breen's an alien, so that when Pookie was going to go home to his home planet... Pookie the bear. They went out there with Wheelchair Man, who's like, I was alive to see it!
Right.
That's it.
Very good.
That was great.
Okay, what...
Let's start with I Am Here Now.
Okay, that's definitely sci-fi.
Sci-fi, I would call it also... Sorry, I'm trying to access the memory banks here for I Am Here Now.
Mm.
It's hard to hold more than one Breen movie in memory at the same time.
Overdrawn at the memory bank.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a good joke.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Have I seen that? Was that the one with I Am Interface?
While you think, I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, with Raul Julia. Or was that a different movie? Anyway, I Am Here Now. Blah, 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 okay. What else could you call it?
It was Raul Julia.
Hell yeah.
And it is I Am Interface.
Hell yeah.
You fucking... You're a brilliant mind. That's a math movie.
Yeah. I Am Interface. I forgot the name of the fucking man.
Which man?
That A Beautiful Mind is based off of.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, God. Hold on. He's really good. Pioneering game theory.
Do you want me to look that up, too?
Yes, please. Pioneering game theory and mathematics. He has a fairly short name.
Goot.
Goot, yep.
John Forbes Nash Jr.
John Nash, yep. Nash.
Nash.
No relation to the Nash Metropolitan, which is a clown fucking car. And, no, it's actually...
Is that a car for fucking clowns, or is that...
No, it just looks like a clown car. It was a very small car from, I don't know what era, I think the...
So it'd be perfect for you.
Oh, yeah, I'd fit perfectly in it. It was very small. It was kind of cool looking. But, I'm here now. I want to say something about... I don't know why I want to say crime drama. It's not.
It's kind of a crime drama.
There's crime... And there's kind of drama. It's trying to be darker, I guess, because it's a lot of seedier, I guess would be the word.
It's trying to be sci-fi noir.
Oh, maybe.
But it's failing.
Failing at both of those things.
No, there's sci.
There's sci.
Well, there's fi.
And a lot of fi.
There's mostly fi.
Mostly fi. Yeah, it's mostly fi. That's very true.
I mean, it's entirely phi, really. one could argue it's 100% phi.
Would you call I Am Here Now Y phi?
As in why?
As in WHY. Wyance fiction.
Appliance fiction. That's a Brave Little Toaster. Huh?
What about After Dark? That CD-ROM with the flying toaster.
Oh, that's also
appliance fiction.
Yeah.
Okay. Would moving on.
I would be willing to call sci-fi I'm Here noir, Now yeah. a sci-fi crime drama
with paranormal elements.
Well, that can fall into the sci-fi.
Science fantasy, maybe?
Well, because, do you think X-Files is sci-fi?
Science fantasy.
Now, what makes it science fantasy as opposed to just science fiction?
To me, science fiction is based more on the extrapolation of known or theorized technologies and scientific principles.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this is where I distinguish... I'd place it more in paranormal.
Here's a different question,
though. Uh-huh.
Is War of the Worlds sci-fi?
That's a good question. Some people will say yes. I'm going to say by my definitions of the genres, I'd say no. Despite being considered
by the
wider world and people that know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Science fiction, yes.
No, I'm just curious about your
your
definitions.
I'm
very willing to call I Am Here Now a science fantasy, by the way.
Yes.
That's definitely what it's trying to be.
Mm-hmm. I guess my definition of sci-fi comes more from the harder sci-fi side of things. Whereas I think that the sort of accepted definition of sci-fi is the sci-fi is a television bit looser. Network. Yeah, exactly. It's spelled S-Y-F-Y.
Siffy.
It's short for syphilis,
mm-hmm.
and it usually means we only play Asylum movies. But
a Sharknado and War of the Worlds is the same.
I mean, you heard it here first, folks.
Jules Verne,
move on
and
over.
Verne Troyer.
Where'd the Verne Troyer come from?
I needed Verne.
That's true. Verne Gagne. I don't even know who that is.
He was a wrestling guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think he was a booker.
I only know that from Spoonie. Okay, so
I would call X-Files paranormal.
Sure.
With sci-fi elements.
I find that interesting that you have that distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're more granular with sci-fi than I am.
Mm-hmm. You could call me a snob.
Of cinema.
Oh!
Let's watch Caligula.
That does not sound
terrible.
Anything like,
I don't even know what that was.
That was Gilbert Gottfried.
In my mind.
Yeah, I can't do a cinema snob voice. He's got too much of like a deep, caramely, like masculine voice.
It's and a bounce.
What's up?
It bounces.
Yeah. Well, he's got like a radio voice because he did radio.
Did he do radio?
I think he did radio for a while, yeah.
I'm not going to look that up.
Okay. No, I think I've heard him talk about it.
Sure.
That he did radio in the past.
That makes sense.
Yeah, he's definitely got the tone of radio.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on air.
I'm sitting in chairs.
Never thought I could sit so free. Flat away. Oh, I'm not. I'm on a chair.
Who could it be?
Believe it or not, it's my ass.
One of my favorite Seinfeld jokes.
Yeah.
Is at one point, George Costanza has a answering machine message. For those of you at home who don't remember what an answering machine is, you used to have something separate from your phone that you would have to put a little tape into.
That would record messages.
That were sent to your phone while you were not answering it.
Yes.
We now have voicemail built into all of our phones.
Mm-hmm.
This used to be a luxury.
If you got confused by the scene in the room where Tommy Wiseau plugged a cassette recorder into his phone,
that's
exactly what he was doing.
Yes.
Except what he was doing is recording everything that went to the phone and not just the messages. The answering machines would turn on and start recording.
After a certain number of rings.
Right.
Usually, I think 5?
Something like that.
You could set it.
Yeah.
But you could also record an outgoing message.
Has Technology Connections done a video on old cassette phone phone answering machines?
Probably not.
That'd be a cool one.
It might be. I don't know.
It might be a simple one. Maybe a Kinextras.
I don't know how different it would be from like a regular episode on cassettes.
Right, but just like the more automated ones, I think, could have a little bit of interesting technology in them.
I suppose. It's kind of just like a switch.
Yeah.
That has to
go. I mean, the man can go on tangents like no one else. He can dive down those rabbit holes.
Sometimes
he did a whole series on air conditioners, my friend.
Sometimes I put on his series on Laserdiscs.
Ah,
because I love the fuck out of Laserdisc.
Just
as a concept.
Watch Technology Connections.
I'm going to link to that playlist.
That man is a treasure.
Future me, remember that.
Remember that.
Anyway,
Kevin.
Anyway,
okay.
I'm here now.
Yes.
We're going to call that a science fantasy.
Science fantasy paranormal drama.
Ooh, that's very granular, but we'll go with it.
Okay. Fateful Findings.
Paranormal drama.
Hacker movie.
I don't think movie needs to be...
I think it's much...
Ooh, political thriller.
Yes. I'll accept that.
It's not thrilling.
Drama, first one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of thriller when, like... wife number two gets kidnapped.
Shoot this damn car all full of holes.
That and shoot this damn car full of holes.
Shoot this damn car full of holes.
Shoot this damn car full of holes. I want to make a shirt that says I'm going to shoot this damn car full of holes.
I would be very surprised if there wasn't one.
I know. I know there's a... Oh, we forgot to mention something.
What did we forget to mention?
The scene where Till. Neil Breen 2.
Neil Breen 2, electric... Breenaloo.
Is describing to main girl, I forgot her name, Kimberly?
No, Kim is the other one.
Kim is the other one. Samantha?
I think Sam. I think Samantha.
Something like that.
I believe it is Samantha.
Because they made a Camantha joke. And he's describing how he manipulates space-time.
Oh, yes.
And he holds up, like, a part of a hose.
Yep.
And he's talking about, like, this is a million light years away. And there's a part where he just goes, dark matter, dark energy.
Yeah.
String theory. He's just like listing like
shit he's heard about, like
he fast forwarded through episodes of Nova.
Yeah.
Stopped and heard a term and wrote it down and then fast forwarded more through Nova. Like, granted, he did, like, the idea of bending space-time to put two points of space together.
He bends the hose to illustrate this.
That's theoretically.
That's a wormhole.
Yeah. That's how you would shorten the distance between two points to allow travel between those two points faster than the speed of light. But, God, it was funny.
It sounded like, okay, you know those... Whenever, like, a pastor would try to, like, convince you that media was evil,
mm-hmm.
and they would just start listing, like, shit about it,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't ever connected.
Yeah, it was just sort of...
And it was usually just blatantly wrong.
Yeah, or, like, when someone who, like, never studied for something is asked to explain an answer.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how it felt, but
most job listings for programming gigs.
Oh my God, they just list technologies they heard their engineering team talk about.
Yeah,
we want fucking this and this, and they're like,
and we want,
not even anywhere related.
And we want 5 years of experience in a thing that has existed for two.
Exactly. We want experience with this, and then they don't hire the guy who wrote it.
Shots fired.
Oh God, jeez. Google.
Shots Googled.
Shots Googled. Google your shots.
Google your shots before you do them, kids. Actually, kids, don't do shots.
Yeah, I mean, not until you're 21, at least.
Or whatever the legal age.
In the country. We do. I did notice we had a few downloads from, like, I think it was Ireland.
Oh!
I don't know the drinking age in Ireland, but it's probably a way more sensible age than here.
I believe it is 18.
18?
Possibly. Hey, if you're from Ireland and you want to call us out on our shit... Email us at youjerks@69centspecial.com.
We'd love to hear from you.
It's a real email.
I've always wanted to visit Ireland.
So have I, actually. It's a lovely country.
It has, like, colors other than brown.
And very troubled past.
Yes. And considering my dad's side of the family is Irish, that'll be very
I could not tell that about you.
I know, right?
There would be no...
Nothing on me indicates that I am anything of any Irish descent whatsoever.
This is where we hard cut to, like, you standing, like, in a leprechaun outfit in a pot of gold.
My mugshot.
Your hair has been, like, brightened in post.
A picture of my yearbook photo that says, "My name, Fire Crotch."
Your yearbook quote is "top of the morning to you."
Shit, dude.
That's me, Lucky Charms.
Get away from me, Lucky Charms.
That's what the
Charms.
T stands for.
Ah,
that's me, Lucky Charms.
It's a really long, like, T.
Yeah.
Initial.
If you say it real fast, it's basically the same as Thomas.
Basically one word. But anyway.
So Fateful Findings is a...
Drama,
paranormal, political thriller.
Yeah. Yeah. Primarily just a drama sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's not a melodrama.
Definitely not.
Although
it does, like... It goes into melodramatic acting.
Oh, yeah.
But not trying to be a melodrama.
It doesn't feel written like a melodrama.
No, certainly not.
It's not trying to, like, super up the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And then this movie. Shit.
I would say this one...
is fucking weird.
I would probably...
Political commentary.
I would probably call this... I would generically call this a thriller.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, I can see that. All I know from, like, listing these genres is that the fourth movie is going to differ wildly.
That one is the first one that we're going to hit that has a very clear and defined genre.
Yes, because it, like...
The next one,
I'm excited.
So if Neil Breen has done something new in every movie... The next one, the new thing he's going to do is make a genre film.
He's going to make a clear genre film because it felt like all the other ones before were sort of like wish fulfillment.
Well, he started with his... I think he started with his moral and the message he wanted to say.
Yeah.
And then he got the plot.
And he tried to put all of the plot conveniences in there to get to that moral. Yes. Yeah. And most of that plot convenience comes down to, well, I'm omnipotent.
Now, I don't remember a goddamn thing about Twisted Pair.
Go figure, we've never seen it sober.
But I do remember it basically not having a moral.
No, surprisingly.
So I'm very excited.
Because it is the first Breen movie that has a bit of sequel bait.
And I am stoked.
It's, man, like...
Join us for the finale of Halloween.
Which hilariously takes place a week before Halloween.
Yeah, we're going to do probably a horror movie for...
Yeah, we'll do something actual.
Because unfortunately, Halloween falls on a Saturday.
And there are five Saturdays in October.
Which, dope.
It's sweet. I like more Saturdays.
And I like more... I like Halloween falling on a Saturday.
Yeah.
But... At the same time, like...
And since we decided Halloween's going to be an episode a week...
Because we're morons.
We're like, well, we also got to do one for Halloween, so we'll...
Yeah.
So after the next...
We couldn't have fucking started it the second week of October.
No, we're not
We're idiots.
No, well, it's because the way our schedule...
Yeah, it was going to fall out,
the next episode after... The first episode of Halloween was going to fall on the first Saturday in October. And we're like, well, fuck.
Yeah, we might as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not a big deal. We get to watch all the Breen movies and something extra.
Except for Double Down.
Yeah.
Which I would just call broadly a political thriller.
Thriller. Yeah, just a thriller.
Yeah.
There's really no supernatural elements in that one.
No, it's just hacking.
It's hacking and poisoning the water hole.
Somebody's poisoning.
He uses a syringe to poison a river. He also dumps.
It's
like
not a river. That's Lake Mead, my friend.
Oh, you're right. Lake Mead.
Which is where we get all our drinking water. And is famously filtered a million times.
Yes.
Because Lake Mead is a gross, gross lake.
Yeah, it's not one of those pristine Arctic lakes.
No, we made that.
Yeah, it's we made it, and it's a lot. There's a lot of dirt. there's a lot of fish shit
and probably, rotting mobsters
and probably drugs too.
And rotting mobsters. A lot of them. Oh, and the sins of the past at the bottom.
I'm not ready for this.
Kuz's biological mutant warfare plan must be stopped. I've hacked into just about all the information. You're gone. No more books!